Afterword to section 23. Where is Whitman's dwelling area? In language? In the facts of the new sciences redefining our relationship not only to reality but time? In the stories and reflections, individual and collective forms of grief and love that govern the life untold? Language has a life of its own, endless unfolding of words of ages, which is told by this poet, whose cadences and coinages, imagery and inflections in homage to the faith that never balks, the absolutes of time and reality, are always pointing to the mystic, baffling wonder at the heart of existence. Whitman praises the spirit of experimentation, the positing and testing of hypotheses, welcomes the discoveries of lexicographers, chemists, geologists, and mathematicians, identifies with mariners sailing into dangerous waters. But his heart is with the outcasts, the slaves and fugitives and plotters of rebellion, spirited men and women determined to secure their freedom at all costs. At the gate to his dwelling area beats the gong of revolt, which may be a single word spoken or sung at the right moment in the right tone of voice. Cartouches, for example, defined in Robert Haas and Paul Ebenkamp's annotated edition of Song of Myself as the oval rings used in hieroglyphic writings to set off the characters of a royal or divine name. They note that the study of cartouches led to the deciphering of the hieroglyphics, which was one of the intellectual achievements of the age. In this section of Song of Myself, one of the poetic achievements of the age, Whitman allows that he is creating a poetic system of democratic signs and reminders, another order of hieroglyphics, which each generation of readers in America and abroad will decode in its own fashion. His words, which tell of freedom and extrication, must be reinterpreted anew, sounded out tongue by tongue, a form of call and response marking the coordinates of a space where we can dwell together.